When I was up and coming, there were people that were still standing by faith, even when they didn't have their church full, even when they didn't have everything finished yet, even when everything seemed like that it was beginning to divide or decline. As you're faithful, He is faithful. We preached on that, right? People are wandering, and they're just wanting a place to hide. But let me tell you, if you give people a place to hide, then you're enabling them to deny who they are. We'll have people come in that are drug-bound and feel perfectly normal sitting in the house of God. We'll have people that are addicted to things, internet, pornography, socializing, to the degree that it becomes a pharis, I guess you would say, to the point where it leads into adultery, over-friendliness. We have these things begin to infiltrate because nobody wants to talk about what they're hiding. I just want my seat, brother. I want to keep my stuff, and you get off of it. Sometimes I feel like when I'm preaching that I'm the TSA at the airport. You come in sometimes and be like, I don't want to take off my shoes to go through, and you do the metal detector. I don't want you to preach on stuff that makes me have to think about the fact that I'm not perfect. Hold on, I'm sorry. I forgot to bring out the perfect pedestal for whomever wants to sit in it tonight. Hold on, let me get it for you. If that's you, you come and have a seat. But chances are nobody's going to sit on the high horse, because those that will be exalted will be abased. So obviously nobody's going to sit and declare that they have everything together. And if you do, my friend, you are a fool, because you've not been through it yet. As our spiritual vision goes, here we go. We begin in tribe. What's the natural next instinct you do if you couldn't see? You try to listen, right? So as we reject and begin to neglect our spiritual vision, we turn to our hearing. And as we begin to be discouraged, we begin to be deaf. Then we read about that scripture that there's not going to be a famine for thirst or for hunger, but for hearing. I would like to at least assume and say that I try to preach with a fire every single night I stand, but sometimes I feel like that we come in and we're deaf. And I don't think it has anything to do with me. Some people will get discouraged and think, oh, it's me. I'm going to give it up and hang up my hat. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with what's going on in somebody's life to determine how open they are to receive what God wants to say. Because chances are, if you're having a hard time focusing or paying attention to when God wants to give the word for just less than an hour of time, my average, I've wrote it all down and calculated, it's about 45 minutes. So despite popular belief that it's an hour, it's only about 45 minutes. I don't even have commercial breaks. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with the presentation. It has everything to do with the contents we're denying. So don't be discouraged, ministers. It's the word they reject and not you. Here's an important point. The prolonged rejection of the word, hope you're ready for this, I wasn't, leads to a cold, bitter heart that has little or no acceptance to God's word, prophecy, encouragement, or exhortation. So then we encounter services where we're not willing to praise, even though we know we should. We encounter services where we have every good reason in the world to get in here and get busy, but we don't. And then we have every other reason in the world why we don't have to. But I didn't come just to talk about the problem. I also come tonight to talk about how we can get out of it. Are we ready? I want you to pay attention to this and write some of this down. John chapter 8, verse 28 through 32. Let's read it. Then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know. Say the word, then. Then shall you know that I am He, and I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that what? Please Him. And He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, if you will continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Number one, the worship of God and Christ will empower the Holy Ghost inside of you. The Holy Ghost will teach you and align you to the truth of God's word and purpose, thus making you free. We need to worship Him because it leads us to the place where we can be free. I can go ahead and tell you this. If you actually allowed God to pour out the whole picture of His anointing on you, you'd be so crazy for Christ, people wouldn't even know what to think about you. Kind of like the way people act towards me. That's probably why most people are afraid to get to know me, because they're afraid of what's going to happen. But I'm a pretty normal guy. We lift him up that he will find pleasing to us. He's, as he is pleased with us, he blesses us with his what? Anointing. As we are blessed with his anointing. Listen, we're aware of his presence. I'm talking about the anointing of God. There's a difference in somebody that's lived in sin all week and gets up to sing, or somebody that has been praying all week and gets up to sing. You'll know the difference if you have any ounce of spirit inside of you. As we are pleasing to him, he anoints us. And as he anoints us, it gives us the ability to return to our spiritual vision. We then become aware of all the hindrances that are around us. And then we are empowered with boldness to put them underneath our feet. Let's go on to the next scripture. Let's go to Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, constantly. And he shall be like a tree, I love this part, planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, oh Lord, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Number two, walking in the counsel of God's word through preaching, teaching, and encouragement, what you receive in prophecy, and by us walking in this continually, you are blessed by God based on your living example. I had somebody tell me recently that's going through a lot of hard times back to back to back. I just don't know why this is happening to me the way it is. And it almost leaves me speechless, because you can look at somebody's situation and you see where they're failing over and over and over and over. And you'll get to the point with people where you won't have anything left that you can tell them to help them anymore. And unless we're going to walk in that anointing to be bold and teach them the truth, you might as well not even bother to say anything, because nothing you say out of your knowledge will help them. It needs to be deliverance by the word of God. They are made free when you what? Give them the truth. As they are given the truth, then they have the opportunity to realize, hey, well, maybe I've not got everything together. Well, maybe things can be better. People aren't as blessed as they could be simply because we don't walk in it all the time. You know, you probably envision, I don't know what you imagine, but I enjoy the anointing of God, and when he anoints me, I can't even help it. I'll run back and forth, I'll dance, I'll shout. I have a good time, it's obvious, right? But at the same time, that is not my behavior all the time, every day that I live. In general, I'm a more quiet person, believe it or not. I'm more reserved to myself. I write software for a living, so 7 out of the 8 hours of the day, I don't even see anybody. I'm just to myself and my thoughts. But all through the day, I keep God with me. And when I'm weary from the day, I begin to remind myself in the night that he is with me. And as I keep him in my mind and upon my mouth continually, it helps me to not say things I shouldn't say. It helps me from doing things I shouldn't do. And it helps me to adhere. Man, I feel the power of God. It helps me to hold on to that bar that God has raised up in me. I'm not the kind of guy that can do 10 pull-ups, but if you can get me to the bar, Roston, I'll hold on all night long. And if God will just hang on and hold on to me, I'm not going to turn loose of his promises, because he has blessed me too much for me to let go. And I'm not talking about favor. I'm talking about blessings. That word we just read said the word prosper or increase. That means to add unto you. That means if we walk in it all the time, guess what? You're going to get stuff. I love free stuff, don't you? Did you know that today was National Donut Day? And if you went to the donut shop, they would have given you a free donut to eat. I had to rebuke that sugar in the name of Jesus and drive right on by. But my Lord, I wanted a donut because I love free stuff. And if they're just giving it out, why would you ever turn away something that's good? So that's what I'm telling you tonight. Today is the day of salvation. His spirit is free and ready to flow inside of you. Would you be willing to come after what has been paid for by Jesus Christ? So if you put it like that, brother, I'm in. Give me my donut. It really was National Donut Day. That's no joke. And I really did drive by and was really sad. You don't lose weight by eating donuts. Let me read this to you. I appreciate your attention. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It's the last scripture I hope you're enjoying this, and I hope you take it out with you and learn and do be a doer and not just a hearer. Let's read this scripture. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. But here's this one little phrase inside of here I want you to grab a hold of and take with you. Here's what it says. Prove your own self. How do you prove yourself? Well, if the Word of God says we're to be prosperous, good health, sound mind, if you get up in the morning and you say, am I in a good mood? No. Whoa. Okay, well, chances are that we've strayed a little from the faith. I'm just saying. If you can't, you might not think that people act that way, but I bet you there's some in here. Oh, whoa. There are people that act that way. My Lord, if you examine yourself and you find that spirit of discouragement on you, if you examine and find that on you, then you're straying from what God has given you to what? Dismiss that. You don't have to keep Satan's stuff. If Jesus already died for your sins and it's cast in the sea of forgetfulness, guess what? He gave you the power to make sure none of the other stuff that tries to come after the fact has a place to sit. Every nail, every lashing, every thorn was due for your pain, your sin, and your suffering. And he bore it all so that you would not only be free, but you would stay free. Number three, if you examine your life daily. And God put it to me like this because he speaks to me very plainly, as you can tell. If the doctor tells you to examine yourself and to take care of yourself to live longer, do we know where we're going? Then chances are, if the Word of God is telling us to examine ourselves, that we prosper, then maybe a spiritual checkup ain't so bad. I'm here to personally tell you, I can't stand checkups. I can't stand anything that involves me having to change out of my garments to be examined by another. I don't do that. So when they're like, well, you can examine yourself and keep up with this, I'm like, okay, tell me how. Because I want to do it, not you. The less eyes and the less hands that are on me, the better. That's what I'm saying. If the Holy Spirit is there as our physician, our healer, our counselor, our teacher, our deliverer, our freedom, our reminder of faith, then guess what? We use that spirit to examine ourselves. And you can't just roll out of bed and say, am I in a good mood, and say no, and go on about your day and expect anything to be any better. Once you have assessed the problem, then you must treat the problem. Without a treatment of the problem, you're still walking with the same problem, wishing that you were well, when in fact you're denying your treatment. The treatment from sin was the sacrifice of Christ. And the ever-continuing deliverance of our sin is through the Holy Ghost. That's how we stay free. So let's examine ourselves every day to see if we be in the faith. Because guess what? If you started examining yourself more often, then you wouldn't dread so bad to come and hear somebody preach on something that you already knew. If I had a big hump on the back of my head, but I never checked myself to see that hump, then when you decided to tell me there was something on my head, I would be surprised and offended at the same time. Don't tell me I have a bump on my head. It's not there. This is the way it was meant to look. Don't tell me that I have sin that needs to be different. This is just the way I am. Well, honey, God did not halfway do it. He didn't 3/4 of the way do it. He made it all the way in your life so that he could cause you to be free from everything. If no sin is going to enter in there, guess what? No sin should enter in here. If no sickness should be entering into heaven, and we have heaven on earth inside of us, guess what? Sickness shouldn't be in here either. If the spirit of fear tries to come, guess what? Fear's not going. That doesn't mean it has to be in your dwelling place. Because if we don't have spot or blemish when we go, then that means we don't have to accept spots and blemishes. Sometimes when I have caused either a shirt or a pair of pants to be so spilled with coffee that I cannot continue to wear them, they have to go to the cleaners. And I don't want to accept the fact that I have to take them sometimes, but sometimes you do. You might be without that pair of pants, but guess what? There are other pants in the world to wear. We might not think that we have to come and pray sometimes, ask for forgiveness, say that we're sorry for things we've messed up in, but guess what? At some point, you've got to accept the fact that you don't have it all together, that life's not perfect, and that things are hard sometimes. And the more that we examine ourselves on a regular basis, the less taken off guard that we are. He said that he would want us to what? Watch and pray. If you begin to pray and examine what's going on in here, guess what? You're going to have a better hindsight out there. You'll be able to see that devil afar off. You'll even be able to get your megaphone like this right here and be like, "Devil, I see you over there. It ain't going to work because I'm already ready for you." My God, I'm here to tell somebody you can see it afar off and not have to be taken off guard if you're praying and watching for when the devil would try to come after you, because he gave you power from on high. That means that it's more than enough to overcome. Everybody's favorite three words. So in conclusion, go ahead and stand with us if you want. That's the message. Another favorite three words. In conclusion, I hope